Today is Thursday, March 12th, and this is the World Socialist Website. European Imperialism Joins in the Illegal U.S.-Israeli War on Iran, by Alex Lantier. The U.S.-Israeli war against Iran is rapidly broadening into a multi-front, regional, and increasingly global conflagration. The war is expanding across the Middle East and is pulling the European imperialist powers ever more directly into military operations. In the Middle East, Israel has expanded its operations beyond Iran into Lebanon, carrying out relentless strikes across the country, including attacks in central Beirut on densely populated residential areas. Over 800,000 people have been forced to flee, while more than 600 people have been killed and over 1,400 injured. The conflict is already shaking world markets, fueling price spikes, and the Strait of Hormuz, through which a major portion of the world's oil transits, has become a flashpoint for direct confrontation. At the same time, the European imperialist powers are being drawn in, politically and militarily, under the fraudulent banner of protecting shipping routes and defending bases. On Tuesday, French President Emmanuel Macron landed on the nuclear-armed aircraft carrier Charles de Gaulle to announce that France would lead a European naval group in the Middle East. Barely a week after he admitted the U.S.-Israeli war in Iran is, quote, waged outside the framework of international law, unquote, he committed France and its European allies to joining this illegal war. As Macron had declared the war to be illegal, one might imagine statements he could have made. But did he announce that France would oppose it? Did he criticize crimes committed by U.S. and Israeli forces against the Iranian people, including the massacre of 160 schoolgirls bombed in Manab, the bombing of hospitals, the poisoning of Iran's skies by bombing Iranian fuel depots? Did he announce that French air bases would be closed to U.S. warplanes? No, not at all. Instead, he said that alongside Spanish, Dutch, Italian, and Greek warships, the French aircraft carrier and its escorts would, quote, coordinate a larger operation, totally peaceful and defensive, but which is our responsibility, which in this very disorganized context to preserve freedom of navigation and participation in maritime security, unquote. While this would involve the Mediterranean and the Red Sea first, he added, it would ultimately grow to, quote, restoring, when the conditions are correct, passage through and the calibrated opening of the Strait of Hormuz. This is, in all but name, a declaration of war by France and its European allies against Iran. While European warships' initial deployment would shield Israel and NATO bases in the Middle East from Iranian retaliatory strikes against U.S.-Israeli bombings, this is, from the outset, intended to prepare an intervention into Iranian waters in the Strait of Hormuz. In response to U.S.-Israeli aggression and the deployment of U.S. warships to the Indian Ocean to blockade Iran's oil shipments, Iran has blockaded the Strait of Hormuz. While Iran bombs U.S. bases in the Persian Gulf region, it is cutting off this vital sea artery through which 20% of the world's oil and gas and a third of its fertilizers flow to world markets. Iranian forces have struck at least a dozen ships trying to run this blockade, firing anti-ship missiles from protected bases along Iran's coast. In his perfunctory 7-minute speech to sailors on the Charles de Gaulle, Macron did not answer any of the questions raised by his remarks. He did not attempt to explain why, only a few months after the Trump administration slapped trade war tariffs on Europe and threatened to invade and seize the Danish territory of Greenland, European powers are siding with Trump's illegal war. Nor did Macron specify under what conditions he would send the Charles de Gaulle to force its way through the Strait of Hormuz. In part, this was because his remarks were intended to calm the panic in financial markets over the closure of the strait. which saw oil prices briefly spike to well over $100 per barrel, by making it seem that the strait will soon be reopened. More fundamentally, however, spelling out Macron's calculations on breaking the Hormuz blockade would reveal the criminal character of his policy. Currently, U.S. warships, like their European counterparts, are staying hundreds of kilometers away from the strait to keep out of range of Iranian missiles. They could only steam into the strait a few kilometers off Iran's coast if U.S.-Israeli carpet bombing of Iran had so totally crushed Iranian resistance that these warships did not fear missile or artillery attack. Macron's claim that this policy is peaceful and defensive is an insult to the intelligence of the people of France and the world, as Iran continues to fire volley after volley of ballistic missiles at U.S. and Israeli targets across the region. It is clear that crushing Iran would require barbaric levels of violence. In the war against Iran, the NATO imperialist powers are applying the methods of the Gaza genocide to a regional and ultimately global war. Israel's relentless bombing of Lebanon is being carried out under an umbrella of anti-air protection provided by U.S. and European warships. Macron's pledge to send the Charles de Gaulle to the Red Sea referred to plans to resume bombing Yemen, where Houthi militias have responded to the war in Iran by launching strikes on Israel. U.S. imperialism is setting into motion a third imperialist world war to preserve its global hegemony, aimed in the first instance at China and Russia. A few months after Washington kidnapped Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and demanded Venezuela hand over its oil, it is again at war with a country friendly to Russia and China, and that is a critical supplier of energy to China. This war is inseparable from a class war waged by imperialism on the international working class. By setting into motion a blockade of Middle East shipping lanes, cutting off supplies of petrochemicals and fertilizers, they are threatening to trigger a collapse of energy-intensive industrial activity, a collapse of food production, and an economic depression. The main victims of such a collapse would be the working and oppressed people of the world. The example of France highlights one essential reality. It is impossible to halt capitalism's plunge into catastrophe with policies pursued on the national stage. The European governments and ruling classes are, of course, well aware of their bitter economic and strategic conflicts with Washington. Yet from Gaza to Venezuela and Iran, they have repeatedly sided with Washington as it seeks to violently assert its fading global hegemony. The underlying material interests driving this policy were explained in the emergency webinar held this weekend by the World Socialist website. The war's underlying aim, as WSWS International Editorial Board Chairman David North explained in the webinar, is, quote, to abolish the 20th century, to wipe out all the consequences of the national democratic and socialist struggles of the 20th century, to act as if it was all somehow a big mistake, that colonial domination can be restored and imperialism can rule. Through it, imperialism is declaring to the workers of the world, slaves you were and slaves you will be. For over a decade, and especially since the outbreak of the NATO-Russia war in Ukraine in 2022, the European powers have relentlessly attacked the workers to fund rearmament. Macron is scrapping social concessions French workers won after the fall of Nazi rule over Europe in World War II to divert hundreds of billions of euros from social spending to the war machine. In 2023, he slashed pensions despite overwhelming opposition and mass strikes, relying on the union bureaucracies and parties of the New Popular Front to shut down and sell out the struggle. Insofar as they are still militarily too weak to confront Washington, the European powers respond to U.S. wars with cowardly complicity, seeking to assert their own imperialist interests under the U.S. umbrella and continue their class war on the workers. Fearing the explosive discontent in their own populations, they are deeply alarmed at the widespread opposition to the Iran war in the American and international working class. The alternative, as the WSWS webinar explained, is the construction of an international and socialist anti-war movement in the working class. Quoting, the working class is not powerless, and it will move in response, in opposition to the war, the economic crisis, and the attacks on its living standards, as well as against the development of fascism and authoritarianism in the United States, Europe, and elsewhere. But this movement, which will develop and is developing on a global scale, requires political leadership, which must be international, must be grounded in the lessons of revolutionary struggles throughout history. Jacobin proposes to subordinate opposition to war to the interests of imperialism, by Jacob Cross. On March 9th, Jacobin, the online publication affiliated with the Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, published an article by Eric Blank headlined, "Why is there no anti-war movement in the U.S.?" The piece is essentially a political brief for the Democratic Party, calling for the subordination of anti-war sentiment to the interests of American imperialism. Blank is a Rutgers professor and member of the DSA and its Bread and Roses caucus, a former member of the now-defunct International Socialist Organization. He is a regular Jacobin contributor. Since joining the DSA after the ISO's implosion in 2019, Blank has repeatedly argued that workers must orient to the trade union apparatus and the Democratic Party. Blank's latest article appears under conditions in which polls show that a majority of Americans oppose the war in Iran, and that, by every measure, no war in modern American history at its outset has had so little popular support as this war. The central problem confronting the political establishment is the danger that this widespread opposition will develop into an independent anti-war movement outside the framework of the Democratic Party and American bourgeois politics. Blank's article serves a definite function in this context. To explain the absence of an anti-war movement, Blank first advances a series of psychological explanations. Americans, he claims, quote, feel powerless, are overwhelmed by the scale of Trump's attacks, and lack inspiration. Blank's answer to resignation is to offer, quote, inspiring examples of successful struggles, unquote. But the examples he provides only underscore the bankruptcy of his perspective. He points to Minnesota and claims that mass resistance against ICE led to a successful outcome. This is false. ICE and CBP continue to operate. Federal agents continue to abduct people, and the Trump administration is expanding ICE operations throughout the country. Democratic Party officials, local authorities, and the union apparatus are containing, diverting, and suppressing support for a general strike to abolish the immigration police and drive the fascists from Washington. The same applies to the calls for a general strike that emerged from below in Minneapolis. These did not arise from the Democrats or the trade union bureaucracy, but in opposition to them. The union apparatus did everything it could to suffocate that movement, just as it has done nothing to mobilize workers against the war in Iran, the genocide in Gaza, or the proxy war against Russia and Ukraine. Blank's arguments all share a common premise. Responsibility for the absence of a mass movement lies primarily with the population itself. Workers and youth, he suggests, are demoralized, distracted, or insufficiently motivated. Blank can speak for his own mental state. As for millions of workers and youth, they are in fact angry and outraged over the war, social inequality, and the escalating assault on democratic rights. They are looking for a way to fight. To the extent there is a feeling of powerlessness, this is due particularly to the role of the Democratic Party and the DSA itself in encouraging at every point a feeling of demoralization, that nothing can be done. Leon Trotsky wrote in Class, Party, and Leadership, analyzing the defeats of the Spanish Revolution by those who sought to foist upon the masses responsibility for their own treachery, that, quote, classical trick of all traitors, deserters, and their attorneys. Changing what needs to be changed, Blank is performing a similar operation. After indulging in armchair psychology, Blank turns to what is for him the central issue. He writes, quote, "Sectarianism has helped marginalize anti-war activity. The problem, according to the learned professor, is that, quote, rather than build the broadest and deepest possible opposition to U.S. military aid and interventions abroad, too much anti-war activity in recent years has leaned into alienating, excessively radical rhetoric and slogans," unquote. Blank is particularly upset that, quote, "a bizarrely high amount of activist energy has gone toward calling out elected officials like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez," unquote, even though he claims, quote, "she has never voted for U.S. military aid to Israel and has vociferously opposed the war in Iran." By sectarianism, Blank means the World Socialist website's political opposition to the Democratic Party, an imperialist party that supports war. And by the broadest and deepest possible opposition, he means subordination to the Democratic Party. That is, he proposes an anti-war movement subordinated to the interests of American imperialism. Blank does not, in fact, refer to the Democratic Party once by name in his entire article, since his aim is to cover up for its role. Members of the so-called opposition party in Washington are already preparing to offer Trump billions more in Pentagon funds to continue the imperialist war against Iran. Politico reported last week that, quote, "several Democrats on the Senate Armed Services Committee aren't ruling out supporting more Pentagon funding, including Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island, as well as Senators Gary Peters of Michigan, Tim Kaine of Virginia, and Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan." Slotkin said, quote, "I need to know the goals and the plan. I don't rule anything out. I mean, we're in it," unquote. As for Ocasio-Cortez, a fellow DSA member, Blank's statement that she never voted for U.S. military aid to Israel is a political fraud. Ocasio-Cortez has repeatedly functioned to trap left-wing opposition within the Democratic Party. She backed Biden while his administration armed and financed the destruction of Gaza. During the mass anti-genocide protests that erupted in 2023, Ocasio-Cortez played a critical role in politically disorienting the movement. She hosted pro-Israel lobbyists in an online forum that portrayed critics of Israel's assault on Gaza as anti-Semitic, providing a platform for the narrative used by the Democratic Party and university administrations to smear student protesters. Even when she occasionally issued rhetorical criticisms of the assault, these were repeatedly paired with reaffirmations of support for Democratic Party policy and Israeli military defense systems. Whatever tactical disagreements may exist within the Democratic Party, over tone, messaging, or timing, the fundamental issue is that it defends U.S. imperialism and capitalism. The fact that Ocasio-Cortez occasionally calls herself a socialist makes her role all the more insidious. She is not a target of WSWS polemics because she is a unique or exceptional bourgeois politician, but because of the role she and the DSA as a whole play in disorienting workers and youth looking for an alternative to capitalism. As for Mamdani, the other leading member of the DSA, whom Blank does not mention, he shook hands with Trump in the White House days before the criminal assault on Iran. What Blank and the DSA are, in fact, absolutely opposed to is a genuine anti-war movement that is rooted in the working class and fights for the international unity of the working class to put an end to capitalism and establish socialism. They reject any perspective that does not appeal to the war makers and their enablers, but instead seeks to stop war through mass action from below, including strikes in the independent organization of workers and youth across workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods. Instead, Blank proposes a central strategy, a movement to quit GPT, which will do absolutely nothing. He then writes that the 2028 presidential election must, in part, be a referendum on military spending, imperialist war, and support for Israel. Workers are told not to build an independent movement now, but to channel opposition into the Democratic Party and wait for the next election. This is a program for political paralysis. Moreover, it ignores the actual political trajectory of the regime. Trump has threatened to run for a third term, spoken openly of extending his grip on power, and is calling for the passage of the Anti-Voter Save America Act, while his political allies threaten to deploy immigration police at November polling sites. To orient workers and youth to 2028 under these conditions is to counsel prostration before a ruling class rapidly escalating towards dictatorship and global war. As the ruling class careens toward war and dictatorship, the working class, the vast majority of society, is moving in the opposite direction. In the last year, millions have participated in No Kings protests in the U.S. and internationally. In the face of right-wing threats and police violence, high school students on a daily basis throughout the United States are walking out of class in support of their immigrant brothers and sisters. The social basis for a genuine mass anti-war movement exists. The problem is not lack of popular anger. It is the subordination of workers and youth from the Democrats, the trade union bureaucracy, and the capitalist system. The task is to build rank-and-file committees in workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods, independent of both capitalist parties and the trade union apparatus, and to unify workers across national lines in a common struggle against war and the system that produces it. Blank's Jacobin article is not an explanation for the absence of an anti-war movement in the United States. It is propaganda aimed at blocking the development of such a movement. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.